Cesspools are considered antiquated and environmentally hazardous methods of waste disposal. The state is trying to wean Hawaii away from using them, but there's some 88,000 of them here, releasing 53 million gallons of untreated sewage into the ground each day. A resolution currently in play at the State House calls for the creation of a regional task force in each county to look into the feasibility and potential impacts of cesspool replacement. The Surfrider Foundation has been working on the issue for years. Stuart Coleman is its Hawaii coordinator, and he's with us in our studio. Hi, Stuart.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
As you came in this morning, you were monitoring activity at the legislature on this very issue. What's going on now?
Yes, it's always something in play at the legislature.
Right.
You never know exactly what's going to happen. But we have two bills right now that are still in play. One is House Bill 2626 that creates a cesspool working group. And the other is Senate Bill 2567 that was originally supported the conversion from a cesspool to either a septic system or an aerobic treatment unit upon conversion of sale within $180, because that's when there's a lot of money going back and forth.
Right.
But apparently it's now being the real estate lobby is very powerful, and so they've shaped it into a kind of bill that would do create a task force to come up with a solution to the problem.
Well, the problem has been hanging fire for quite some time and is not going to go away. So what do you regard as a viable way to address it?
Well, originally we worked with the Department of Health and helped create a bill, Act 120, that was signed into law, and it created a $10,000 tax credit for people to convert their cesspools and to upgrade them. And originally it was 200 feet from a body of water. That's, you know, if you were eligible, you had to be within that. And then we expanded it to 400 feet. And that's like either a well, the ocean, a river, or an aquifer. And so that was good. But we still found that people weren't doing the conversions because, you know, for low-income folks, that's still tough. You know, they don't need a $10,000 tax credit. And we were trying to pool it like the solar companies did, so the companies themselves could take the tax breaks and help low-income people do it and help people make that. So that didn't work. But the good news is we were able to pass a mandatory conversion by 2050. So we have that kind of goal, but we need to do something a lot sooner than then.
What's the difference between a cesspool and a septic tank? What is a conversion?
Yeah.
Let me ask that first.
A cesspool is the most basic, rudimentary kind
of— It's a hole in the ground.
It's just a hole in the ground, exactly.
Yeah.
And the waste is pumped into there. There's no real treatment. There's no leach field. There's no lining. And so when it rains, and we have places in heavy rainfall areas like Kahalu, which is a priority one area that has been deemed, you know, a target area that for the earliest conversions, that stuff will just leach out all over the place. So a septic system is one that's lined inside. So solids settle to the bottom, and there's a lot of kind of aerobic treatment going on there. And then there's a leach field where if it comes out, it can still percolate into the ground, and it has a time to kind of be processed more. Now, there's still that's still problematic in areas where you have heavy rainfalls like we've been having lately.
Because they can overflow?
Exactly. And so even then, but a septic system is always better than a cesspool. But some people are saying we should also do aerobic treatment units, which takes it one step higher and kind of makes sure that it's treated before it comes out into the leach field. And so there's a higher level of treatment. And then sewer lines are the best.
One, each time you move to a higher level of treatment, you add to the cost for a homeowner who might just be getting by and not able to afford the simplest conversion. What would a cesspool to septic tank conversion cost for, say, a small home?
Right. It varies anywhere from between, you know, I've heard estimates of like $12,000-$14,000 up to, if you get a really, really good unit, $25,000, you know, at the like the top end.
Serious stuff, though.
Yeah, serious money. And that's why Gabbard's bill, you know, the Senate bill 2567 was good, because when you're in the sale, that's when there's money. And there's, you know, an extra $25,000 to improve something that's going to improve public health and the value of the property, mm-hmm. you know, we thought was a really good idea. Mm-hmm. But it's still, you know, the good news is it's still moving forward. It already passed the House, already passed the Senate, is in the House side, and it's going to finance. So we just want to make sure that it gets a hearing in finance.
It still would seem that for a low-income homeowner mm-hmm. who is basically just getting by
yeah.
and just doesn't have 20 grand for anything,
right.
they're going to wait till 2050.
Yeah. So what we were trying to do, Surfrider worked with an alliance of different groups and scientists and researchers and government folks to create the Hawaii Reef and Ocean Coalition. Mm-hmm. And we had a suite of bills that were our target. And cesspools were at the top of that list. And then, you know, polystyrene foam and, you know, other bills that are oxybenzone that are damaging to the reefs and our ocean and mm-hmm. our economy, obviously, because of tourism. And so we kind of talked about early on having a model where the blatant offenders who've been warned and said your cesspools are inadequate, where you create a system of fines. If you're violating the law, you create the fines, and then you could create a pool of money that would go into a pool to help low-income mm-hmm. folks do that. And so it's kind of, you know, punishing the bad actors and helping the people who need the help. So I imagine something like that will be in the future. But then again, the state is going to – and the counties are going to have to work together to set aside money for this because it's going to be quite expensive.
It generally takes a certain amount of national attention to take an issue like this and get some movement on it.
Yeah.
Fair to say?
Yeah. I got a call from the Wall Street Journal, and I was surprised. I was like, okay, this is a national news item now, and mm-hmm. that's not the kind of publicity that Hawaii needs.
Right.
And so I think that is the kind of pressure. And also DOH did a study, and they decided of the 88,000, they prioritized in three tiers, tier one being the highest kind of contamination, and that's like Kahalu and upcountry Maui. And those are the ones we have to work on right away because mm-hmm. it could be a threat to the water supply.
Just because there's so many of them within a small area?
There's so many of them, and they're, it's a low-lying area, and there's, you know, we're talking about sea level rise and you know, places where we've been having these torrential rains. That's leading to very contaminated waters.
The wastewater situation in Hawaii is far from ideal anyway, right?
Right.
We're constantly dumping waste into the ocean after virtually every heavy rain. You can expect to see a headline a couple of days later,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's the highest level. The greatest source of water pollution is just stormwater runoff because our storm drains run right into the ocean. And so we've created a program called Ocean Friendly Gardens, just trying to get people to realize there's simple things that we can do and the counties and the state can do on the highways and everything to reduce that runoff because that's the number one pollutant. And they're just common sense, you know, best management practices that we can all incorporate.
Well, environmental pollution in Hawaii, that's just not a good mix.
No, it's not, especially when tourism is your number one economic engine.
Yeah. Someday we'll all figure this out. Thanks very much,
Stuart. My pleasure.
Stuart Coleman is the Surfrider Foundation's Hawaii coordinator.